You know, in 2011, yeah. There became a country called South Sudan. So you can also, you cannot just call us. Our legal name is not Sudanese, we are South Sudanese. That was an issue. So they were giving some of these students difficulty just to make sure that they are not people going to seek asylum. Secondly, the information I got from the students and from the authorities.
So you mean you met with the students?
Yes, we met with South Sudanese students. Yes, that's why I was saying the first day was with South Sudanese students specifically, because we thought for us to go and meet with authorities of the host government, we need to hear the story of our people first. Then we go and present their cases, because there is no point of going to meet with authorities before meeting my people. So what I got from our South Sudanese student was that some of their compatriots or their fellow colleagues went to Rwanda, others stayed for almost 2 years, and they were not in school. And the parents in South Sudan are sending money, thinking their children are studying. And some of these people went, they even went out of the regional capitals into very remote areas. And basically they dropped out, others were moving with the wrong groups. So a few got involved in crimes, they were arrested and deported. So when that happened, that's when the authorities said, we have to be now vigilant, because these people are coming here, they are not pursuing their studies, and their parents back in South Sudan, they think they are in school, and later on they go back empty-handed, no education, and they came back with a bad habit. Secondly, the host government is also afraid. After their conflict in 1994, they worked harder to improve their image, so that Rwanda is a very peaceful place, people follow law. So they are also scared, like if these people are coming, they are not following our rules, we really need to do serious vetting so that the people we allow to come in are people who are coming for the purpose they do. So I asked, but why are you asking for bank account? Are you asking for rental agreement, all these things, and school enrollment? They told me, look, for us as Rwanda, we have an open visa policy. Mm-hmm. Every person across Africa and across the world, you just decide, I'm going to Rwanda, pack your things, come.
Visa on arrival.
Mm-hmm. And the only way for us to know you are a genuine person is to throw different questions as you, and see how you respond. If you are very genuine enough, we say come. So they said, actually, there is no such requirement for you to show us a bank statement, because we know we are Africa, we are still struggling with our banking. You may have money, but it will not be in the bank account. So the questions we ask is just to make sure you will have something to sustain yourself. So basically, that was the idea. It was not a policy against South Sudanese, but in their view was also to help ensure people who go there to study, they study rather than go and loiter around. And that's why even now, last month when I was there, they had just passed a law on when the bars will close and nightclubs. Now in Rwanda, the new law, by 1 a.m., all the bars closed. I asked, but why? They say people, you know, were clubbing until late morning. So people end up not going to work or school. So for us to do that is to say bars will close at 1 a.m. So if you want to go, you will know maybe I start leaving by 12 or 11 to be home before the curfew time, as a way for them to manage. So that tells you they are very strict, and that's what I also want our people, mainly the student community there, to follow the rules of the host country, because otherwise it will really be difficult. They cannot be able to pursue their studies without causing themselves problems. The other thing, unlike in South Sudan, some people tend to say, oh, there is no media freedom, but I feel we have a lot of freedom here. Like, you know, that interview on iRadio where the student made the comment. Like, it's known all over Rwanda. You go to an office, people will tell you, your students complain, and their complaint was not genuine. It's like, why are they tarnishing our image? Those students were spoken to. So I think they also, next time when they really want to make a statement, it's something better they first verify, and they will be measured because they are in a different country.
So all this has been handled now. The students can continue with their studies easily, and then they can enter through the borders as well.
Yes. The student, this is sorted. But the other thing also which I discovered there is like some of our people, I was shown travel documents, South Sudanese. They go by road to Nimule, get a travel document that I'm going to Uganda, and they use that travel document to enter Rwanda or another country, which is wrong. By law, it's an emergency document. You only get it when your passport is lost to go back home. But people think it's a document that can take them through different countries. That's one thing I also found there. I was shown a number of documents. And I also have a testimony. In June, a volleyball team from South Sudan went to play in Uganda. Team of about 18 people, all most of them on traveling document. And then they decided to proceed from Uganda to Rwanda. And they were held at the border for about 6 hours until we had to send new travel document from the embassy to say these people are traveling now from Kampala to Kigali and back. So our people also need to understand how the migration works. Yes.
That was the right procedure for them. Is it like the right thing to do is just to have a passport, for instance?
No, you can have a passport. If you don't have a passport, you need to state clearly in your travel document. If you say you are going to Kampala, you need to get another document from saying you're going from Kampala to Kigali. But you cannot use the one from Nimule saying you are going to Kampala to go to Kigali with it. So that's wrong. It is just because it's the same region. We understand our situation. That's why sometimes people are allowed to travel. But by law, it's illegal. It's not acceptable. We know it's difficult. People cannot get all the passports. So, but it's just people know, if you have emergency, you just go and get another travel document. We can issue.
Right. Anything else you would like to add before we can wind up, Ambassador?
I think what I just want to add again is basically, you know, South Sudan being a landlocked country and emerging from the history we've been going through the recent history of violence, I'm appealing to all the compatriots to join hands and really focus more on the nation building through supporting our children in schools. And for us who are out there looking after South Sudanese interests, remote areas, and basically they dropped out, others were moving with the wrong groups. So a few got involved in crimes, they were arrested and deported. So when that happened, that's when the authorities said, we have to be now vigilant because these people are coming here, they are not pursuing their studies, and their parents back in South Sudan, they think they are in school, and later on they go back empty-handed, no education, and they came back with a bad habit. Secondly, the host government is also afraid after their conflict in 1994. They worked harder to improve their image so that Rwanda is a very peaceful place. People follow law. So they are also scared, like if these people are coming, they are not following our rules. We really need to do serious vetting so that the people we allow to come in are people who are coming for the purpose they do. So I asked, but why are you asking for bank account? Are you asking for rental agreement, all these things, and school enrollment? They told me, look, for us as Rwanda, we have an open visa policy. every person across Africa and across the world, you just decide, I'm going to Rwanda, pack your things, come.
Visa on arrival.
And the only way for us to know you are a genuine person is to throw different questions as you and see how you respond. If you are very genuine enough, we say come. So they said, actually, there is no such requirement for you to show us a bank statement, because we know we are Africa, we are still struggling with our banking. You may have money, but it will not be in remote areas. And basically, they dropped out. Others were moving with the wrong groups. So a few got involved in crimes. They were arrested and deported. So when that happened, that's when the authorities said, we have to be now vigilant, because these people are coming here. They are not pursuing their studies. And their parents back in South Sudan, they think they are in school. And later on, they go back empty-handed, no education, and they came back with a bad habit. Secondly, the host government is also afraid. After their conflict in 1994, they worked harder to improve their image so that Rwanda is a very peaceful place. People follow law. So they are also scared, like, if these people are coming, they are not following our rules, we really need to do serious vetting so that the people we allow to come in are people who are coming for the purpose they do. So I asked, but why are you asking for bank account? Are you asking for rental agreement? All these things and school enrollment? They told me, look, for us as Rwanda, we have an open visa policy. Mm-hmm. Every person across Africa and across the world, you just decide, I'm going to Rwanda, pack your things, come.
Visa on arrival.
Mm-hmm. And the only way for us to know you are a genuine person is to throw different questions as you and see how you respond. If you are very genuine enough, we say come. So they said, actually, there is no such requirement for you to show us a bank statement, because we know we are Africa, we are still struggling with our banking. You may have money, but it will not be in the bank account. So the questions we ask is just to make sure you will have something to sustain yourself. So basically, that was the idea. It was not a policy against South Sudanese, but in their view was also to help ensure people who go there to study, they study rather than go and loiter around. And that's why even now, last month, when I was there, they had just passed a law on when the bars will close and nightclubs. Mm-hmm. Now in Rwanda, the new law, by 1 a.m., all the bars closed. Mm-hmm. I asked, but why? They say people, you know, were clubbing until late morning. Mm-hmm. So people end up not going to work or school. Mm-hmm. So for us to do that is to say bars will close at 1 a.m., so if you want to go, you will know, maybe I start leaving by 12 or 11 to be home before the curfew time, as a way for them to manage. So that tells you they are very strict, and that's what I also want our people, mainly the student community there, to follow the rules of the host country, because otherwise it will really be difficult. They cannot be able to pursue their studies without causing themselves problems. The other thing, unlike in South Sudan, some people tend to say, oh, there is no media freedom. But I feel we have a lot of freedom here. Like, you know, that interview on iRadio where the student made the complaint, like, it's known all over Rwanda. You go to an office, people will tell you, your students complain, and their complaint was not genuine. It's like, why are they tarnishing our image? Those students were spoken to. So I think they also, next time when they really want, yes. The student, this is sorted. But the other thing also, which I discovered there, is like some of our people, I was shown travel documents, South Sudanese. They go by road to Nimule, get a travel document that I'm going to Uganda, and they use that travel document to enter Rwanda or another country, which is wrong. By law, it's an emergency document. You only get it when your passport is lost to go back home. But people think it's a document that can take them through different countries. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I also found there. Right. I was shown a number of documents, and I also have a testimony. In June, a team, a volleyball team from South Sudan, went to play in Uganda. Mm-hmm. Team of about 18 people, mm-hmm. all most of them on traveling documents. And then they decided to proceed from Uganda to Rwanda. And they were held at the border for about 6 hours mm-hmm. until we had to send new travel documents from the embassy to say these people are traveling now from Kampala to Kigali and back. Mm-hmm. So our people also need to understand mm-hmm. how the immigration works. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was the right procedure for them. Is it like the right thing to do is just to have a passport, for instance?
No, you can have a passport. If you don't have a passport, you need to state clearly in your travel document. If you say you are going to Kampala, you need to get another document from saying you're going from Kampala to Kigali. But you cannot use the one from Nimuli saying you are going to Kampala to go to Kigali with it. So that's wrong. It is just because it's the same region. We understand our situation. That's why sometimes people are allowed to travel. But by law, it's illegal. It's not acceptable. We know it's difficult. People cannot get all the passports. But it's just people know if you have emergency, you just go and get another travel document. We can issue.
Right. Anything else you would like to add before we can wind up, Ambassador?
I think what I just want to add again is basically, you know, South Sudan being a landlocked country and emerging from the history we've been going through the recent history of violence, I'm appealing to all the compatriots to join hands and really focus more on the nation building through supporting our children in schools and for us who are out there looking after South Sudanese interests, we will be able to do our bit so that children who are in school are educated properly, because these are the people of the future. They are our future ambassadors, the teachers, and the people who will be the architect for the growth of this country. So I would urge, you know, there are voices now talking of the election, not election. I think it would be good to ensure that the country goes through that experience of an election, give a mandate to the person they would elect, so that we really chart our way for development. So I'm calling for each and everyone to have South Sudan at heart and say no to violence and yes to peace.